You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Brittany runs a marathon. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel personally attacked. I can't have been the only person who thought that watching this movie. It's like,
leave Brittany alone.
Leave Brittany alone.
Honestly, running was the last time I did that was when I was being attacked. So not that.
Right. It's like, well, your brother-in-law one boy goes, why are you running? Is someone chasing you? I've used that joke, but I've also had that joke used on me. Okay, so here's the deal with Brittany Runs a Marathon. This played at Sundance this year. To say it got rave reviews is putting it mildly. Oh, it got universally rave reviews. It's like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. People were screaming about it, and I was like, what is this? Okay, Jillian Bell is the star, and we've all seen her largely playing supporting characters in comedies.
But I've always loved her and everything.
And she's always been like kind of that saving grace background character. It's like, oh man, the movie was just okay, but Jillian Bell was great.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You know, one of those people. I was like, okay, she's going to carry a comedy. Sure. It's about time.
Yep.
You know, but it's a movie about an overweight girl who decides to start losing the weight and decides she's going to run the New York City Marathon. And right there went, really?
Yeah. It's basically a female version of Run, Fat Boy, Run, only so much better, mainly because I don't have to see Jillian Bell in a fat suit. She's just played herself. I'm sorry, you could not make me believe Simon Pegg was fat in that movie.
Well, I mean, that was part of, like, Jillian Bell clearly actually started at a high point of weight and chose to lose weight over the length of the screening of this. Now, there was some amount of, like, you could tell they were putting makeup on her skin to make it look patchy and stuff in the earlier part. But, all right, so I said that's the basics of the plot. She plays Brittany, and she works and lives in New York City. She lives with a super hot Asian roommate who is a Instagram, influencer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That hurt me.
Yeah. And, you know, all her friends are super hot. And she's, like, kind of dumpy and overweight, not very happy with her life, but she's very funny. She's always falls back on comedy and being a funny person.
She's the funny, chubby sidekick her friends.
Yeah, one of her friends is like, oh, you are just the funniest person I know. There's a scene where they're at a club and some guy, like, really grossly is, like really cute guy's talking to her and is, like, hands her some napkins. Like, hey, you want to go in the bathroom? He's like, yeah, you're cute. And hands her some napkins. These are for your knees.
Yeah.
He basically
like,
just
God. That was, like, one of the grossest feelings I've ever had with a character who was like, oh, God.
Right. And she puts up with it because she feels like this is what she could do. I mean, you definitely get a sense that this is a person who is dealing with some very big self-esteem issues, and she finally gets a chance to put her life back together.
Yeah, she starts to realize that everything is bad, but through a series of incidents like this, and finally with a doctor who's telling her, look, your BMI is considerably above where it should be. And she's like at first like, oh, how dare you call me fat, but trying to be funny about it. It's like, no, you know, your blood pressure is high. You've got fatty liver issues. This is going to get worse.
Yeah.
You know? And she has a downstairs neighbor or upstairs neighbor who is in great shape and goes running all the time and is played by Michaela Watkins, who you've seen on lots of stuff. She's like one of those TV actresses who's been on everything.
Yeah.
They make fun of because, like, oh, it's that rich lady who lives upstairs and she's always like, saying, hey, guys, maybe you want to think about not leaving your stuff out in the hallway? Yeah. And they're like, fuck you, lady. But a really confluence of things leads her to really, and I've been here, to go that moment when you're staring at the door to your house, in this case, apartment building, and it's just like the most frightening thing ever of going out and actually trying to exercise and to run. It's humiliating. It's terrifying. It's like, it feels impossible. And watching her struggle through that and slowly through pushing herself, deciding that she is immediately realizing that she is much happier and at least having something to strive for, having, as they say, little goals.
Right. Yeah.
And watching her go through this, watching her make new friends, watching her have learned to have more confidence in herself, and then also having to deal with some of the that it's not that simple. There's things inside your personality. Yeah,
the underlying emotional or social flaws that you have where you realize, like, that imposter syndrome and that thing where you feel like you got to do everything yourself, it, goddamn, it really hit. Where you're just like, nope, I've been that, where you feel like you're on a high, and then the second you turn around, you're like, why the fuck am I here? This is not right, and then just you just tear yourself down for a little bit.
You find out that those insecurities that have been there for a while because of the person you let yourself become and the, you know, I mean, the core reasons for even being in the place you are in the first place don't go away immediately just because you're on a healthier track.
Exactly. And
I think what I really liked about this film the most is, while it is funny, it's never absurdly funny. No one in this movie is the kind of funny that Hollywood people are funny. No. They're funny in the way that people you know who are funny are funny.
It's funny in the way a New York playwright thinks people are funny.
Sure.
And, you know, the director and writer, Paul Downs Colaizzo, I'm probably butchering his name. He's a kind of a hot young playwright right now, and he's also getting some work in television and film. This is his debut feature as a director. And, yeah, it does have that sort of structure and feel of like a New York play that's been opened up to kind of incorporate real locations and a bigger cast than would fit on a small black box theater off Broadway.
See, I didn't.
And it always feels, some of the characters do feel a little broad to me.
I didn't feel that way.
No, really?
Yeah, I did. I thought one of the strongest points was it never felt like I was watching scripted dialogue. It always felt like real people speaking naturalistically.
I mean, even there's some jokes that are maybe funnier than a person might be in the moment, but it wasn't like super like come back a week later. I could have said that type of thing. It was something I feel like somebody could have come up with. It was just more consistent.
Everybody felt normally funny as opposed to, like, nobody is that funny in real life.
Although I thought it was a little odd, the boy, for lack of a better word, the love interest, threw us, again, a strange, convoluted series of events. You know, she's trying to hold down a job. We find out she's not very good at doing that. She's not very good at committing to anything, jobs, people, relationships, etc. But she gets a job, house sitting or dog sitting.
Well, okay, that's the most unrealistic part of the whole movie.
And that's the, that really kind of put me out, because it turns out there's another guy who's like on the night shift, but he's practically living there, and he's very funny, but he's just this sort of guy that I just don't feel like ever exists in real life. It's like, so you have no money, you don't do anything, yet you just crash in this house.
And, no, that
which,
exists.
By the way, who leaves for like 3 or 4 months?
I actually know that guy. And he's even Indian. So,
I don't think they made him up.
I mean, the thing I liked about that one is too, like,
he's very funny.
There's a point where it comes back around, as you can imagine, where, you know, Brittany does really get everything together at a point in the movie where there's other characters that don't get everything together in the end. That's the other thing I love about this movie is they constantly go back to, no, these are all normal people with a lot of shit is going on in their lives, even if it's not always the focus of the movie. And even at the end of the movie, a lot of that shit's not wrapped up. A lot of them are still failing at things that you feel like are the core of their
character. You feel like to some level, either their work moving, at the very least, everyone is moving forward by the end. Like they, and to one degree or another. And, you know, Brittany, she's not perfect. You know, and she's never going to be, and that's part of the acceptance. Like, it's okay to not. You're never going to be. You're never going to look like your roommate.
Well, right.
You know, like this Asian goddess on Instagram,
who is vapid and horrible.
But they even hint at that she's not even fully happy with that too. Which I was like, which I'm so happy they addressed that instead of her just being that vapid girl that she has to be better than. It's like, no. There's that whole scene where she basically is falling apart too, and it's like, yes, it causes a great impetus for Brittany to move forward as well. And then even where Brittany, you know, quote unquote, gets her revenge, it kind of comes back around later on in the movie again. It's like, no, they both realize they're both only human and shit's fucked.
Yeah, everybody is always fighting their own battles. And this movie is saying some things that are just really good truths for this day and age. And before you think so, like, I know people who thought, oh, this is just going to be a fat-shaming movie like Run, Fat Boy, Run was.
Right.
It is not.
No.
At all. Even in the slightest bit. You know, she is making the decision to lose this weight because of health and self-confidence issues, and they make it very clear about how that works. And they make also very clear, they address the fact that, yeah, people do treat you different when you're thinner or prettier or what have you, but that isn't a reason in and of itself to do what make those decisions.
I really love that first running scene because I did running for a while, which, God help me, and doing that in Austin, and I always end up doing, like, the fitness thing, and then it's in spring in Austin, which is all of 2 weeks before it turns 100 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
You start regretting it quickly, or you keep with it, and, like, that first run where she's like, I'm gonna go a block, and just, like, it's like, she's like, she sees her stretch it out in front of her, that's not bullshit, that shit really happens, where you're like, no, I gotta make it this far, or I fucking failed myself, and then you're just like, that wasn't that far away yesterday.
There's so many moments I could identify with that. I went through several running periods in my life, and unfortunately, I can't do it anymore because my own arthritic condition stuff. I run for like 2 minutes, and my feet start feeling like there are spikes through them.
Yeah.
But I kind of miss it because I liked it, and I remember the worst, though, and this was stupid, but I did lose a shit ton of weight. I went this period, I was so sad, you're doing that thing, you're just drinking whiskey at home, like getting fucking wasted, and then every 20 minutes you're like, I'm going to run around the block really fucking fast. I lost a ton of weight doing that, but I also think I lost some friends doing that, too.
Probably some brain cells.
Yeah, probably some brain cells. Well, those have been, steadily draining over the years.
That is the fine line this movie walks. It does want to sell you the idea that Brittany is, for the first time in her life, she's becoming self-actualized, she's setting goals, she's accomplishing goals, yet it never, you're right, it never becomes a fat-shaming thing. The jokes are never easy, cheap shots at her being overweight. And, you know, it also shows that her life doesn't immediately get better just because she looks better looking. She realizes, I'm in a better body, I have a smaller dress size, I'm not breaking the scale anymore, but I'm still not happy. There's still something wrong.
And it doesn't matter
in my life.
It's also like, it doesn't matter like how much you might be on the right path. Shitty stuff is still going to drop in your lap.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to deal with it. And sometimes, you know, the best laid plans, as they say, you know, you adapt and you adjust and you try and find a way to move forward. Like I said, I felt like this movie was personally attacking me.
I love how there is that period where she is getting better, and she's getting thinner, and it shows that she is motivating herself more. But even in the back of your mind, like, you see it as that incremental change. But the thing is incremental change that is not in a fully positive direction either. It's not actually moving your life forward. It's making yourself a better, productive person. And I've been there quite a lot. And then there's that period every once in a while where you get that where you finally get that kick in the ass. You're like, you actually need to change a lot.
Right.
You know you need to change a lot. And even this movie goes, you don't just change a lot because of a life-affirming moment. You then have to wait a period of time. Like, it goes, like, there's a time jump in this movie that actually feels terrific. And it's just like, towards the end, the big one, towards the end. And then there's another one that they don't even address how long that is, because something has to change repeatedly in your life, and you have to keep making those goals. And it's not always easy. And the movie, I love that this movie does not shy away from this shit's not easy. It will be a repeated struggle to find that positive.
This is the thing, like, it's not about, I'm going to do this for a while and then everything's going to be great. It's like, no, you literally have to choose to become a different person on some level to fix these things in your life that you want fixed. Yeah. And it deals with all these things in a nuanced and lightly funny way with a really interesting cast, a supporting cast of people who I largely was unfamiliar with as actors. He said the guy who plays the guy who's living in the house when she comes in, which they said the unbelievable part wasn't him. It was the fact that anyone would get paid $100 a day for hanging out with the dog in a fucking mansion in New York City.
And she's not like, better off financially because of that.
The thing is, because of the time jump, because of the episodic structure, I lost track of how long they were living there. And I was like, you guys can't have been living there this long. No one's going to leave you the keys to their house for 3 months.
Man, rich people are weird, though.
But hey, who knows?
I mean, they like to go. Like, they might spend 6 months in Europe.
I actually knew someone who used to
handle that house.
I knew someone who found, because it's like about finding your way in. I knew someone who would, because I used to house sit for friends who were like, you know, upper middle class. They were wealthy enough they could afford to pay me like a reasonable amount to sure. make sure, take care of their pets, make sure the plants are watered. It was nice. I remember talking to a friend of mine who was like an acquaintance of mine who was doing it for all those Westlake Hills houses yeah. and found a path in those giant fucking mansions. Like, yeah, those people are gone over half the year. Yeah. And so you just like in one area and you're like, yeah, I take care of 15 houses a day. And I pulled down like almost a grand.
I will
week.
Say the most unrealistic thing about this movie isn't that she get that job, because there are people that get that job.
Yeah,
it's the way she got that job yeah. from bombing in the most obviously lying way at a nanny job, and it's yeah. like, you know, my sister actually runs this really really rich person, you know, focused house.
After you lied about babysitting for the Bidens, I mean, come on.
yeah, honestly, like, it's the most obvious lie, and she gets caught in it really clear. It's like. Yeah, you're really great for this other job. No.
That was probably the most awkward scene in the whole film for me. It just, that smacked of untruth. You're like, okay, I get that you really need a job. You had to know that these people are going to check up on these references.
Right.
And even the way the scene plays out, trying to be funny, is unconvincing. But that was really the only moment in this whole film where I was like, this didn't feel
I can forgive
genuine to me.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, the guy who's playing her roommate there, Utkarsh Ambudkar as Jern, he is really kind of charming and funny. Surprised to find out he's not a stand-up comedian. He feels like a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, right? Which is what drives a lot of the improvisational feel of this. And I imagine a lot of that comes from Gillian Bell herself. I think when you're talking about this is what real people sound like, I kind of feel like that's in a way what's happening, is that it feels like you had a screenwriter who provided the dialogue, but was open enough to let a bunch of funny people come in and riff a little bit and open it up. And that really helps. And I can't overstate how much of this movie belongs to Gillian Bell, because she carries it. I think there were some moments, more than you guys, I think there were some moments it got a little too sitcom-y. It felt a little bit contrived at parts, and some of the time jumps made it difficult for me to just keep track of what was going on. I'm like, how many jobs does she have? How is she living at this place and also paying for that other apartment that she apparently never goes to, et cetera?
I don't think she was paying for that other one.
Yeah, I mean, there's some weird things in there, but I forgive a whole lot of that because she's just radiant in every single scene, even when she is, and is brave enough to not only allow herself to look bad, but even when she gets fit and she's attractive,
she's not going for look how sexy
yeah.
I am,
and you know? She just looks like a healthy, normal person. But then you realize just how much toxicity, how much insecurity she has, and like what shitty friends she's been hanging out with.
Yeah,
and I do appreciate that they don't sugarcoat that aspect of her life.
We'll keep going into your final thoughts, Marco.
I know I like this movie. I don't think I liked it as much as you guys did. But it still was a lot of fun. I've already mentioned the episodic structure, that it's kind of done in seasons. So a lot seems to happen, but there's also a lot of times when we don't see what happens, and you have to kind of just assume that things worked out without any explanation. It's a bit episodic, and that makes the movie feel longer than it really is. Fortunately, I think the cast is very fun, the dialogue is very sharp, and it manages to wear its heart on its sleeve without overdoing some of the sports movie cliches. Yeah, I think you'll have a good time with this movie. I know I did. I'm going to give it 7.5 napkins for your knees.
What about you, Ben?
I really did love this movie. Gillian Bell is an actress I've loved since she was the antagonist in 22 Jump Street. Like, that's the first thing I think I ever recognized her in. It's just like, you are really funny in this. Like, you are owning every scene, just killing it there. And here is the first time she really gets the shine. And, you know, this is one of those movies that you feel like, oh, they could have put, like, Rebel Wilson into this, and it would be just a bunch of pratfalls.
Yeah.
It would have been
fat-shaming.
Exactly. And I really like Rebel Wilson a lot of times. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but this movie needed this depth. It needed this heart. And she just kills it in this. Honestly, I do love the whole cast. We didn't mention Lil Rel as her brother-in-law, who does a really great job as that guy who's just like, nope, I've kind of had my shit together to fully just accept who I am, like, for 15 years. Like, you've known me that long, and I just had it together. And it's not ever been easy, but I get where I'm at in life. And some people have that. And And he really kind of nails that moment.
There's that stunning moment where he basically reveals what he had to give up to try and make sure she was going to be okay. That's like, man, that actually made me start to cry.
Oh, exactly.
I was like, God damn.
I love that. I also want to highlight, we didn't mention the other running partner, Seth, played by Micah Stock.
Yeah.
Who is like, he basically, you know, sort of the, you know, the easy joke of like, my son asked, am I the mom or the dad in our gay couple? And it's like, why? Well, you really had a breath and you're kind of wimpy. And it's like, it's a good, easy joke, and then it also gets really motivational as well. Yeah. You just really grow to love every character in this movie.
Except for maybe the roommate. Female roommate.
They give some stuff where it's like, okay, clearly there was some more going on in the background. Like that train scene with her, you kind of get that was a little bit more of Brittany being, you know, more of a bitch about it, defending herself. Like at that point, it's like, it kind of seemed like she was trying to make peace. And like,
actually, the roommate's boyfriend is the worst.
The roommate's boyfriend is the worst.
But you get the feel like this is this character who is deeply fucking shallow.
Yeah.
And maybe in the end is just starting to dawn on her that she's as shallow as she is. Yeah. But that doesn't mean
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's not a redeemed character, but they at least keep her humanized. And you can at least see a little bit like, even at times, Brittany wasn't always fair to her type of thing.
Yeah.
Which is great. But I also want to say, the only character who I think I had some issue with for a period was just Utkarsh as Jern. It's just, it feels like almost that transition to her getting along with him is cut a little short in the movie. I fully believe it when they start getting together because they have really good chemistry as actors, but it jumps a little bit too much for me.
Okay.
But that's not really a big complaint in a movie that I feel like, when it gets to that big happy moment at the end of the movie, you know, It's a happy ending that you actually really want because you feel really deeply connected with this character. You feel the heart of this movie, and you want that moment. And honestly, there were even moments where I almost teared up because I was like, yeah, this is – you feel a real connection, and Jillian Bell's really killed it.
I was actively crying at the last 10 to 15 minutes of this movie.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a solid 8.5 out of 10 children's bedrooms you bang in.
So when I first came out of this, the first thing I said was, it's so nice to see a smart and funny movie made for grown-ups. Like, we don't get a lot of those. We get a lot of movies that are tempted to be for grown-ups, and often they're interminable. You know, or they're just like, there's a lot of good stuff here, but it's dry, and it's not going to find much of an audience. This is a movie that is going to find its audience. This might very well be a big sleeper hit this year.
Could be. I hope so, actually.
I could completely hope that word of mouth lets this one get around. And I think if you're anyone who's ever struggled with weight or self-confidence, this is a movie you kind of have to see. You're really going to want to. Or if you're somebody who hasn't, maybe you should see it to have sympathy for your friends who have been that way. I found this very nuanced. It's lightly funny. It's never trying to be hysterical. And it's not. There's points you laugh a bit, but it's not a movie that feels like a series of sketch comedy bits.
I think the funniest bits might be more situational, and it's realistically situational where it's that relating to it.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I thought Jillian Bell, who I've liked for a while, is just wonderful here. This is a big moment in her career, and hats off. This was a really difficult role to take on, no question whatsoever, and I think she completely nailed it. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 life lessons that I probably haven't absorbed.
You know, one of the funniest bits that we didn't touch on that just always hurts me is that one with Mikey Day from SNL where he's the guy at the gym, and she's like, wait, you said the low end. It's like, oh, yeah. It's like
the low end is $190 of gym membership.
Yeah, it's like wait, fuck you. It's like it's like, no, I've been there.
Totally. Where you guys say, no, for that you get everything in the gym except for half of it.
Yeah. Like even my company gives an employee discount like with gyms, and I'm like, you want $150 for an employee discount? No. I can walk.
When I go to gyms, it's usually Jim's restaurant with the fried chicken. Yeah.
I went there last night, no lie.